Now, ladies and gentlemen, I think it is a great joy. I want to just introduce Pastor James.
I just noticed something. They never asked me to sing. The reason is because I'm not a singer. I can remember one time I felt led of the Lord to carry on a song in church. And I started singing, and the praise and worship leader came and took the mic away from me. And she carried forth the song. So, I know my place. It's been a joyful time to be here, and I have to apologize. I would have loved to have been to everything, all the events that were going on here. But I do have a commitment with my wife. I'm helping maintain, taking care of her and things like that. I was able to have coverage for the time that I'm here, but then I got to shoot back. But I would love, I love being around folks. If you can imagine Brother Enoch and me together, it's probably good I did leave. We've been talking about what makes a good Christian, and we talked about a mindset, we talked about the heart settled, and I want to deal a little bit today about faith. Because I shared with you, I'm going to share with you my testimony today, and I believe that faith is something in which we have to exercise it, and the things we go through is the expressions of what we believe. So, I love the fact of hearing the testimonies this morning. How sometimes when somebody at some time during this conference faced a challenge. Whether it was getting lost in the hotel, not being able to find Wendy's. By the way, Wendy's is on Chestnut Street. You start to look at things and you see things and you start to wonder, well, how can we manage it? How can we function as a body, as a believer in Christ? Because are we supposed to be so religious? Are we supposed to walk around with our hands folded and say, bless you, my child? There's nothing wrong with that if that's what you're going to do. But I know where Paul said that our conversations among each other should be with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, edifying one another with the conversations that we have. But in the flesh, I know how it goes. Can you believe what we had to face? Can you believe those things that we had to go through? Can you believe yesterday when I left here, I went to go take the L and the L didn't come right away? Can you believe that I had to wait? Then I heard over the loudspeaker there wasn't enough workers for that train to come, so I was going to have to wait for the next one. Another 15 minutes. James talked a little bit about faith. I mean, in chapter 2 of James, 26 verses, says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. See, we're not saved by works. We're saved by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But unless your faith is attached to that and you're able to live that, you really don't have the opportunity that we have of hearing, of walking in the testimonies, of walking in the abundance, of walking in the grace. I saw in the scriptures a little element of faith. 2 Peter chapter 1, just bear with me, I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to go into my testimony. Begin with verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. According as His divine power is given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if many of you recognize that, but these things that you're supposed to add to your faith are the fruit of the Spirit. And you can't add them, you and I can't multiply them or produce them. You and I can have them manifested in us as the Spirit is in us. And the only way that the Spirit's fruit come to us is when we submit to the Spirit. But that means that you then have to put things in the proper order. How many here are blessed today?
Amen.
How many here are blessed and highly favored?
Hallelujah.
How many here know the great and precious promises in store for you?
Yes.
How many know that before you get there to be able to have those manifested, sometimes you may be tried?
Yes, every day.
Sometimes you may have to walk up a hill and be out of breath.
Yeah.
Sometimes you might need to wait for another train.
Or a plane.
Sometimes you might face the lightning and the thunder as of last night. Most people, even in my house, most people didn't like that thunder and lightning last night. I was outside watching it. I'm fascinated by storms. I'm fascinated with the areas of where how nature can bring forth all the different winds and rains and everything, and I'm fascinated with all that because I still see God's hand in the midst of it and God being sovereign. Well, how did I get there that I'm not afraid of things? I'm afraid of some things. I'm afraid to ask a woman how much she weighs. I'm afraid to guess their age. And that's always a setup. How old do you think I am? No. But I've been tried and tested, and so far He's kept me. And according to the scriptures, that there's a promise that He will never leave me nor forsake me. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes we need to get that into our mindset so we can handle today's issues. So let me give you a little bit about my testimony. I was born in Pottstown, Pennsylvania. prognosis that I was going to die within a year.
Oh.
Seven doctors tried to treat me, and seven doctors gave the same story to my parents. You might as well, instead of rejoicing and preparing for life, you better just prepare a funeral for them.
Oh, wow.
No sooner was I born, an hour later, they were rushing me from Pottstown, Pennsylvania, down to Philadelphia Children's Hospital. I was a preemie. I came early. I still show up early. I was here. There was only one other person in this room here. I was here already sitting and just reading. I hate being late. Now, I'm not talking against those that are late. But seven doctors gave up on me. And it wasn't until the eighth doctor came and had a little bit of faith and had a little bit of prayer and had a little bit of assurance to know. And he said, well, we're going to do the best we can. And sure enough, his name was Dr. Weibel. And he treated me and was able to get me stable, was able to get me functional. He proved the seven doctors wrong.
Wow.
God's grace and mercy. That's one thing. Supposed to have died before the age of one. At the age of 16, I was diagnosed with being born with spina bifida. Four spots in my back, there's nothing but cord. I'm not able, according to the doctors, to stand, to sit, or to walk. I'm not able to do any of that, according to them. They've already told me, you're handicapped, you might as well go for a handicap, might as well get in a wheelchair, you might as well. And I walked into the office. So I said, doctor, I know what the tests show. I see the x-rays. I see the problems that you say that I have. And I'm not in denial of that. But what you say I can't do, God says I can. I don't know how God is doing it. Whether he's got something invisible supporting my back. Whether he spoke the word and the word is enough. I don't know. I know I'm not manufacturing it. I just know I'm stupid enough to believe God. I remember the enemy with all this blessing and with spina bifida. I remember the enemy one time coming into my room because I used to be asleep, and then when I'd wake up, if I slept the wrong way, I could not move until someone rolled me over. And the enemy came one time, more than one time, but the last time he came was the time when he told me, what happens if this time when they move you, you won't be able to move still? And I made up my mind. I said, devil, you're not winning here. Whatever God has in store, I'm still going to serve him. So if I got to serve him from this bed, I'm going to serve him from the bed.
Amen.
Immediately, my parents came in, rolled me over, and that was the last time any paralysis was. At the age of 18, I was diagnosed with a blood cancer. Incurable. I lost 45 pounds in 35 days.
Oh.
They put me on six full meals a day, plus supplements, plus injections. They were trying to stabilize my weight. And at that point, I only weighed, before that, I only weighed 120 pounds.
Oh.
and it brought me down to 75 pounds. And I was, oh Lord, I don't know what they're doing, but I'm sick and tired of eating. I know Brother Enoch's never been there. I have never had to beg Brother Enoch to go eat.
Won't happen today.
You want to get on Brother Enoch's good side?
Yes.
Offer him some food. And he comes, that usually comes with ministry. Have you ever noticed preachers love to go eat?
Amen.
They love food. I was never moved by food. My father was. My father was motivated by food.
I had a good teacher.
My father, if you put a chicken leg in front of him, he was in a wheelchair from a stroke. But if you put a chicken leg in front of him, he'd follow you anywhere you wanted. We love food. But I told the Lord I can't live eating six meals a day, supplements, needles, and everything. I just can't do that. So, Lord, I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm only going to eat when I'm hungry. And, Lord, I'm in your hands. At the age of 18, that was the commitment I make. I won't eat religiously. I will eat when I'm hungry, and I'll eat healthy. I stabilized. They came, and they found no cancer.
Yeah.
Let's say I was born to die, spina bifida, blood cancer. At the age of 25, I was diagnosed with a liver disease. They said that in 5 years I would need a liver transplant.
Wow.
They had me on a medicine that would stagnate the disease, and the medicine was costing $2,700 per month.
Ooh.
But there was no cure. It went from stage 1 to stage 2 to stage 3.5. Each time they did a biopsy of the liver. Stage 4 was the time that you need a liver. I don't think that's God. But every time I saw that, I went in and I had a Jewish doctor. And this Jewish doctor kept saying, but you're not complaining about anything. You're going to need a liver transplant. We're going to put you on the list. And the next week, we're going to put you on the list. I said, why don't you do another biopsy within the next week? He said, but we just took one. I said, do another one. That week, the stage went from 3.5 down to 1. I made Philadelphia Medical Journal. They did a report on it. This was an incurable disease. There's nothing that could stop it. And at stage 1, he says, I'm going to get you in the journal. Another biopsy, there's no trace. He said, let me keep you on the medicine. I said, no. It's not the medicine that's doing it. I said, I know who my healer is.
Come on now. Amen, amen.
But he said, but it can't hurt you, and your insurance covers it. All you're paying is $10 a month. I said, that's fine, but I don't need that extra medicine in me that then my liver and other organs have to process it anyway. So let me go off it. And he says, yeah, I don't see it doing any good for you anyway. See, at the age of 5, I had an understanding of who Jesus was. I had an understanding enough. See, I grew up in a family that mom and dad are both saved. They love the Lord. They're ministry minded. They were founders of the ministry, and I grew up in ministry. It was automatic just to believe the impossible can be done. But it didn't excuse the testing. It didn't excuse the areas of the past of challenges. All these things, the next thing I had, I was diagnosed with kidney stones.
Oh, that hurts.
9 of them. They said, no, you can't have kidney stones, that 9 of them, and still be walking and still be teaching and still be preaching. I still have 7 of them. Wait a minute, how do you do that? I don't know. But I do know God's enabling me.
Hey, right.
I don't take pain medication. I believe that God is able to do more than we ever can even imagine. The last thing I want to talk to you about myself is back in 2015. We had a thunderstorm, we had a lightning, a storm, and I was living in Upper Darby at the time, and 2 houses up in the backyard, a community field, there was a tree, and the tree, lightning hit the tree, and a big branch came halfway down. We're just hanging there. And I saw it, and I saw little 5-year-olds playing underneath it. And I said, if that branch comes down, it's going to kill him. So I took my chainsaw out, and I went over to that tree, and I started to cut that branch down. And as I cut that branch, instead of it falling down, it swung into me. As it swung into me, it hit my chest, went up, cracked my chin. It broke several bones in my face. If you really want to know all the details, it punctured both lungs. It broke my shoulder. By the way, my shoulder's still broken. I can't do this up and down. It removed my face from my skull. It actually destroyed my eye sockets. They had to rebuild them. It destroyed my right hearing canal mechanism, and it gave me 2 brain bleeds. They rushed me into the surgery, into the hospital, and as they rushed me into the hospital, there was a trauma unit that was going off. They waited, and there was a new trauma unit coming on. 2 trauma teams worked on me. They had to give me into a position that I could have surgery, but they had to stabilize me. I gotta be honest with you. I never lost consciousness. Here I am getting hit by that branch. Turned the chainsaw off, put it down on the stump. A guy who saw it happen Saul wore the stump was and said, okay, because I couldn't see at that point. He said, here, let me lean you up until the help comes. So he helped lean me up against the stump. The helpers came, the rescue truck came, they put me in, and here I am on the way to the hospital telling them about the school that they ought to come. Got into the emergency room, and they're like, what can we do for you? And I'm like, well, I think I'm a little beat up. Whatever you want to do, go ahead. See, I don't think the swelling took place yet. And once the swelling took place, it really complicated the things. But I ended up, they put me in a medically induced coma. They wrapped me up. People that came to the hospital and saw me, a lot of them didn't think I was going to make it, including my mother. I never had an idea of death. Never entered my mind. Through the whole thing, never entered my mind. They took me into surgery, two medical teams, did 10 hours of surgery on me. What you're looking at is a mask under my face, under my skin. Almost like a hockey mask underneath. They told me that I would not be able to, I had a tracheotomy. They told me I'd never live without the tracheotomy. When I got to rehab, one of the nurses there, male nurse at nighttime, he believed the Lord, and he and I were having prayer. And as he was praying for me, he said, you know, I just feel like I should take this trach out. He said, this might be my job, but I'm just feeling led. And he took the trach out and cleaned it. He says, how do you feel? I said, I feel all right. He goes, let's just bandage it up and see what happens. They had already ordered me 6 months worth of supplies for the trach. They ended up getting to the point of where they said, you're not going to remember things. You're going to lose your memory. You're not going to be able to teach. You're not going to be able to speak. You're not going to be able to function well. And then they went to my wife and told my wife, he's got at best 5 years left of life. Because the brain bleeds will not stop and he will die. Their time schedule ended 5 years ago. Now, I gotta tell you something. I still have two brain bleeds.
Oh, wow.
10 years. I'm not supposed to be able to remember things. And I knew recovery was going to be hard, but I meant business. I said, God, if you bring me into rehab, I'm going to make it count. They were giving everybody 3 hours of therapy every day in Good Shepherd. Good Shepherd Rehab is a couple blocks down 19th and Spruce. And they came to me and they said, you have such a hunger for this. Let's give you a little bit more. I had 8 hours a day of rehab.
Wow.
People were coming to visit me. I said, I don't care. Let them wait. I'm about the Lord's work. I prayed one prayer. I've been praying all along, but one prayer for me. And it was consistent. Lord, return unto me that which I need to continue to do what you called me to do.
Amen.
That's all I wanted. I didn't know how far that would go, but I know that if God was in control, which he was, then he would be the author and finisher of this, and therefore, God, just give me what I need so that I can go. The head doctor at the rehab says, I'm worried about you because I have a pastor who's just like you, and he'll get up and move, and you're the same way. You won't stay still. And he said, you're going to be back here. I guarantee within 3 months you're going to be back here. And he was right. But I didn't come back there in 3 months as a patient. I went back there 3 months to torment him. When I was in rehab, they armed my chair, alarmed my chair. They alarmed the bed. When the IV drip would stop, I would fix it. I knew how to unarm the bed and how to unarm the wheelchair. So they locked me in the room. And the last day I was there, the day before I was ready to leave, they said, okay, you can have freedom of the place. They should not have done that. Because there are four floors. I occupied the four floors. 2 hours later, I came back down to my floor, and they're like, where were you? I said, I was in home. I was talking to everybody and everybody. I would wheel into someone's room, hey, you want some prayer? See, whatever happens, I just wanted to be about God.
Amen.
I'm not super religious. I'm not super spiritual. I'm down to earth. But I believe God has my life. I've tasted and tasted and tasted. From the very time I was born and couldn't understand it, God had me. From the time that I had spina bifida and my answer to the doctors was, doctor, you don't understand. I have spina bifida. I'm not in denial of that. But spina bifida doesn't have me. So you got to put it in the right perspective. I have pain. But pain doesn't have me. So what do? I treat pain as pain. Not as a dictator or lord of my life.
Amen.
You know how I deal with pain? I am on no medication except one heart medicine. I don't take aspirin, I don't take Tylenol, I don't take Advil, I don't take naproxen or anything with this. When I get pain that starts to hurt, I go to sleep for 20 minutes. And after 20 minutes, I'll wake up and I'm okay. God has gifted me with sleep medicine.
Wow. Amen.
Not physical medicine, sleep as a medicine. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
I can't tell you what your life is going to hold. But I can tell you faith in works. You have to walk it. You have to believe it. In order to be a good Christian, for other people to see you as Christian, they can't just see you sitting down doing nothing. You can have t-shirts on and everything. You can have all these different images, go to church and everything. But if they don't know what's going on in the church, if they don't see, if your family members don't see you being able to show the fruit of the Spirit instead of being able to show the fruit of the flesh. And by the way, that works of the flesh is evident. Galatians 5 talks about the works of the flesh, which produces death. And you know that's evident? You know what that means? That's the default. If you don't submit to the Spirit and let the Spirit rule, the works of the flesh will be evident. How easy is it to get mad at somebody? How easy is it to judge wrong? How easy is it to talk about somebody? How easy is it to listen to gossip? How easy is it to buy something you don't need? Oh, I might be talking to somebody. See, I was talking about Sister Vivian yesterday.
Uh-oh.
And After the service was over, we walked over into the pine room, and I said, Sister Vivian, I know I talked about you a little bit. She goes, uh-huh. I know what that uh-huh means. See, I'm a handful for people. And yet I believe God. I'm a handful. Some people can't take me. But I'll guarantee you they won't forget me. I went through Good Shepherd. And literally, the nurse that got me, when I got dismissed, August 27th, 2015. She put me in the car, and when she put me in the car, she goes, don't ever come back here again. When she saw me walk back in, and saw what God had done, because I had a recovery schedule. August 27th, I left rehab. I had already made plans. In February, I'm coming back to school to teach.
Amen, amen, amen.
And I said, that'll give me time to recoup, be able to recover, be able to... And they said, okay, we'll allow that. I had other people teaching in my place. September, oh, by the way, when I left the hospital, I talked my wife into driving by the school.
Oh.
Drove by the school, I picked up my laptop, picked up different things, because I was going to work at home. I was not going to just sit. TV was not going to be my God.
Come on, man. Preach.
I was back in church September. Not preaching. My first sermon was October 5th, 2015. We had a guest that day, and that guest was the psychiatrist of the rehab. Because she wanted to see how far my brain had gone and how damaged it was. And she wanted me, while I was in rehab, why don't you prepare a sermon for me? And I said, am I going to preach it to you? No, I just want to see it. I said, no. I don't prepare sermons just to be idolized. If I can't communicate it, I said, why don't you let me communicate it to everybody here? No, we can't do that. I said, okay, then you're going to have to come hear me. And when she heard that I was going to preach October 5th, 2015, she came. She sat in the back row, and she had tears coming down her eyes. She saw God's hand. Now, she was a believer, but she didn't believe the recovery process. So you can be a believer in Christ and still limit what God wants to do for you. There's precious, exceeding precious promises He has for you. But sometimes we have to go through in order to see the grace and mercy that He has for us. And most people would say, but Pastor Byron, you've suffered enough. I think until the Lord comes back, it's a life of suffering. But it's not a life of suffering to defeat. It's a life of suffering to be able to see His hand of grace and then His mercy being there to enable me to go forth. I'm teaching with a new zeal. I'm challenging the students to the point that they've never gotten to before.
Mm-hmm.
I have taken my curriculum, I've taken my assignments, and I shared with you the first day how I give them a 6,500-word argument that they have to present. This year I did something more. I made them not only present it in writing, but then they had to present it orally to me. And they were scared of me. Pretty Duncan, do I sound scary?
No, you don't.
Thank you. But they were scared because I was the only audience.
Oh.
I told them I wouldn't say a thing, I'd just listen, I'd record it, and I would critique the recording. But they were scared. But I've taken the things that they've done and taken it to Princeton and taken it to other universities, and they said we would never do this to our students. We wouldn't challenge them that much. So when I see things and I see God working, there's a purpose for why we go through things. I have lived a life, and this is not boasting, it's boasting in the Lord, but I have lived a life that if somebody has a need, I can have faith.
Amen.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
I can stand when I have spina bifida.
Hallelujah.
I can walk around and have an incurable liver disease, but it's no longer there.
Amen.
Blood cancer, no longer there.
Amen.
Brain bleeds and brain fogs, and yet when I get up to preach and I get up to teach, they disappear. It's not me manufacturing that. It's the Holy Spirit that clears the avenue of communication.
Amen.
And this was always my question, Lord, why do you allow it to come back then? Because shortly afterwards, the brain fog will come back. And the Lord lets me know, you've asked to give you everything you need to do what I've called you to do. And I'm doing it. People said, why don't you pray for more? I'm okay with the brain fogs. Because that's my stabilizer. That's where I know that I need to take my time. See, at 65, I still act as though I'm in my 20s. If I had a motorcycle...
Oh, no.
Let me just put it this way. I grew up in the time stand of Abel Knievel.
Oh.
He tried to jump over buses, I tried to jump over creeks. And I made it halfway. It was my grandfather's motorbike. And after we got the whole system blown out, he was foolish enough to let me ride it again. But he told me no jumping creek, so I said, fine. So I rode up the creek a mile and got a shallow area and rode through it. But there was a mountain on the other side of that creek that I wanted to be able to climb straight up. And I got on the other side of that creek and started that bike. And I got two-thirds of the way up, and both the bike and myself came flipping all the way back down.
Oh.
Yes.
Wait a minute. I was born with spina bifida. I wasn't diagnosed until 16. At the age of 14, I'm flipping the bike backward down. You want to tell me that God's grace and mercy is not good? Abundant. Keeping.
Yeah.
I've grown mature a little bit to the point of where I don't try to jump creeks anymore.
Thank you.
Now I'm working on. People keep coming to me because what I've been through, they don't like me shoveling, they don't like me doing the yard work, and I say, wait a minute, it's got to get done. So we do it. No, get someone else. Anyone in ministry knows there's a lot of volunteers until there's need. You hear what I'm saying? And then you just have to bite the bullet and go ahead and do it. Sometimes God will send help. Other times He'll fortify you to be able to do it. And I'm cutting grass, and I've never cut grass or shoveled log grudgingly. I've always been out there praising God, always been, thank you, Lord, singing a song, and they're like, you got to shovel, you don't understand, I get to shovel. I got a broken shoulder. I can still shovel. There's, that shoulder is broken, 1 inch, no bone. I keep it there. They taught me in rehab, you may be able to maintain it by muscle. Mm. So every day, I exercise. Mm-hmm. And I maintain. All right. My shoulder's supposed to be dropped. Mm-hmm. I think I'm pretty level. At least balance-wise. But when you look at that, and you start to see what next. But now I'm facing a dilemma with my wife's condition. She has ALS. How do we deal with that? The same God.
Amen.
Amen. The same God.
Amen.
Now please don't misunderstand me. I'm not speaking tremendous miracles, because we don't know the manifestation God wants.
Amen.
But you know what I found out? God never wants us to speak ahead of time.
Amen.
He wants us to connect with Him and believe Him that His way is the way.
Amen.
So, Becky and I, we've come to the realization, however God wants it, we're okay.
Amen.
So it's not a burden to us. It's a burden for other people that read her Facebook page, because she's very blunt with things she's going through and everything, and then they get upset because she talks about faith, and she talks about how God is blessing her, and how she's seen God in great and mighty ways. See, I believe that Job had to go through, you mentioned about Job today, I believe Job had to get to that point of no return and start to question until he figured out when God says, who are you? And when Job finally ended up, Pastor Byron paraphrased, I'll shut my mouth, I won't speak anymore, I'll accept anything and everything, because now I know you.
Amen.
And that's where faith is.
Amen.
And you can know Him and walk in Him. You can't tell me God is not real. You can't tell me God is not with me. You can't tell me that God will not provide all my needs. You can't tell me that, you can tell me those things, but it's going to go in one ear and not the other. Why? Because I've tasted.
Yes.
I've seen His faith.
Yes.
And I'm not maintaining just a routine. I'm expecting great and wondrous things.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
NCCB. Don't expect or don't accept routine. Don't accept just getting up and just doing the same thing over and over and over and over. That gets monotonous and boring. You got to see Christ in the midst of it. You got to make it dynamic. If you got to, You know how weird I am? Brother, stop shaking your head up. I wake up in the morning. And when I wake up in the morning, I'll sit up. And when I sit up, my spine, I hear it compress. Click, 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 click.
Mm.
And when I hear that, I say, knee. Becky thinks I'm weird. But the reason why I say need is because I know the power of God. I just know, even though my spine click, 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 I can get up. And I don't say, in the name of Jesus, I shall rise. No, I just get up. I live it because it's real. I don't have to speak about death, life, whatever. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to live.
Amen. Amen.
And by the way, I'm not digging my grave. You know, you got people that are digging their own graves. 10 years before they die, they're just in case I need it. No, live. Live the abundance that He's given us.
Amen.
Believe God. In spite of the circumstance. Believe God through the circumstance. Believe God in spite of others that will doubt. Because you'll have, unfortunately, and I'm going to close with, I got another thing I want to share with you. Because somebody told me, reminded me, one of my problems is I always close often. Brother Duncan, I've arranged it. First of all, it's in closing, and then it's benediction coming. But when you and I start to see the areas of our lives not being utilized the greatest, I have people saying, "What can I do to serve God?" They think that they have to get religious. When they get religious, they're not serving God.
Come on now.
They're serving their own understanding of how to try to reach God, and they won't do it. Me serving God, I'll mess you up. If you hung out with me and Brother Enoch, let me just put it this way. Sister Vivian has called, I've called to talk to Enoch, and Sister Vivian would pick up the phone. And she would say, "Pastor Byron, are you going on a trip anytime soon?" I said, "Why, are you trying to get rid of me?" She goes, "No, that's not really it. But can Enoch go with you?" I don't know, but Enoch's been with me in Haiti. Enoch's done things that sighted people would not do. We rode up a mountainside. There was no road. I was not driving. I was on top of the cab. Enoch was in the back bed, and there was about maybe 8 or 9 other people in the back bed.
Wow.
Holding on. We got up a little bit, and the driver says, "No, it's not safe. Let's get people out of the bed." So they took everyone out of the bed of the truck, except Enoch. They let him in. I'm still sitting on top of the cab, because I thought, I'm not leaving Enoch by himself. The driver's driving up, and literally, the road that, the place that he's going, the right tire is halfway off the cliff.
Oh!
Wow.
I said, "Enoch," and he had a hold of the spare tire that's attached to the back of the cab.
Yeah.
I said, "Enoch, whatever you do, Just hold on. I said, this is a blessing that you can't see. They got us up to the top of the mountain. We still had a 2-mile walk to get to the church. That church was that walk was a 15-inch wide path. And it wasn't level. It was up rocks, down rocks, mud and everything else. And I said, Enoch, okay, hold on to me. So he put his hands on my shoulders. And we walked.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Halfway there, he got a little tight with the gripping of the shoulder. And I said, Enoch, what's going on? He said, I just want to remind you, if I deliver, you do too. But Enoch didn't realize he was making a statement of faith to the people in Haiti. Because the several years that I still continued going to Haiti, the children and the other people on the mountain kept commenting, Enoch, a person without vision, traveled that pathway. Where other people that came with us at high sight and that did not. Faith. He had trust in me, but I think he had greater faith in God. So what can God do?
Everything.
What will God not do?
Fail.
But he might not do the things we want him to do.
Amen.
But he'll do the things, the Bible says that, well, I'm going to read Charles Spurgeon Common, and I'll end it with that. Because Charles Spurgeon sums it up. The God of the past has blotted out your sin. The God of the present makes all things work for your good. And the God of the future will never leave you nor forsake you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of coming together. God, I stand here not on my own, not on my own abilities, but because of grace and mercy, you saw it as an opportunity. Thank you for this group. Thank you for these special people who love you and who love us. And Father, it's a neat thing to be able to see harmony. It's a neat thing to be able to see the challenges. Is a neat thing to see people praying one for another. It's a neat thing to see the ability, even in the city of Philadelphia, how you have originated and ordained this to be. Father, I pray that you might bless NCCB. Not just as a blessing, but I pray that you might touch each individual, even those who are guests, even those who wandered in and maybe weren't even invited, but still just wandered in. God, I pray that you bless them. Help them to be able to have a generated faith that they might be able to walk in it. For Lord, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk in the area of the assurance that you're with us. And Father, we pray that you might just orchestrate our steps, orchestrate that path. Bless us. For Lord, I know that I've committed myself not to touch another chainsaw. But God, I don't believe the trials and tribulations are over yet. But Lord, it's not something that I look to see. It's something that I walk in spite of. And Father, I pray that you might give us an in spite of attitude, that no matter what's going on in our lives, we can serve you, we can worship you, we can rejoice, we can have the assurance that heaven is ours. Bless each one here. Bless us that we'll be able not just to hold off until next conference, but God, that we might be able to, until next conference, we might be able to see a difference in our lives and a difference in the surrounding lives. But Father, help us not to be naive. For your word said, to those who accept us and believe us, we're a sweet aroma when we talk about Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
But God, for those who reject Jesus, we're a stench of death. So Father, we're going to be hated and we're going to be loved. Help us not to be moved, but help us to walk genuinely representing you. And we'll be so careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Thank you for this opportunity here. Thank you for this hotel. Thank you for the safety and everything that you've kept even danger away from us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Byron.
Hallelujah.
Wow. What a message. I hope that when we all go back to our homes, back to our churches, or if you don't have a church, I hope that and pray that maybe the Lord would bring you to possibly call a church. I know it's not easy sometimes to get a ride. Have to use Parastranded. And sometimes to be part of a church, they want to hope they'll accept you. I'm so thankful for my church back home who've been praying for me. I want to also mention this piano is here thanks to a company in King of Prussia, PA, the Cunningham Piano Company. I know they're not here to acknowledge our applause, but Karen Gerald helped me, and we both were able to find this piano through God's help and the willingness of Cunningham Piano Rentals. They work with the pop stars and the Philadelphia Pops Orchestra. I would give not only them a hand, but the Lord a hand, and our friend Karen sitting next to me. Y'all deserve deserve a hand. They deserve a hand. And I hope you enjoyed. I love this piano. It works beautifully. It's a Yamaha. What is it, Karen?
Oh, it's the N1X.
N1X piano. And it's a nice digital piano. Now, we're not through yet. We have this afternoon's meeting, and it's important that you attend 2:00. You would say, boring. It won't be so boring when you determine it's not going to be boring for you. This is very important stuff, yes. But we can get it done in pretty quickly, and then go prepare for tonight's banquet. By the way, after the banquet tonight, that's the last time I'm going to have the CDs available and the thumb drives. And a number of them were sold last night. God is restoring some of what was lost. So I'm going to have Ashley talk to you right now. Now, I will preside this afternoon, but Ashley will talk with you now about what we need to do.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right. We tuckered out, or are we still having fun?
Having fun.
So, as Mr. President said, we'll be meeting today at 2:00 here. Remember, if you've paid your dues, that's $15, you are eligible to be a part of the vote for our upcoming board of directors for the 2026 conference. The officer nominations set forward by the board are as follows. President,
Duncan Holmes. Vice President, Kathy Whaley. Recording Secretary, Cynthia Lai. The nominations for representatives set forth by the board are as follows. Steve Blow, Marcia Farrow, Beth Moline. Thank you.
Well, I'm sure, thank you, my dear Faith niece. I do hope that, get yourself some time to get lunch and prepare for this. Remember the banquet tonight. And I think we'll go ahead and have our time of benediction. And I would like to ask Pastor Byron to once again dismiss us with a benediction.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for just this opportunity of coming together. We thank you for how you blessed us. We pray, Lord, that as we go our way and we go for nourishment, we go for fellowship, that you might enable us to get another breath, that you might enable us to be led and even be able to communicate blessings one to another. Mm-hmm. Now, Father, we pray that you might just keep your hand upon us, enable us to be able to see your glory in everything we do, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
I have one quick announcement. This is the last day I'll be at the booth back here. I have one catalog of publications left. Anybody's interested in taking it home with them. But I just wanted to express that. Wanted to say thank you guys for a great conference this week.
Thank you, Thomas. Amen. Thomas did a great job this week. Amazing. And I don't know if you heard that, he was one catalog left.
Yes. I have one if anybody wants it.
What's that?
I have one if anybody wants it.
Okay, somebody, I don't remember who that was. But. All right, I dismiss you with this. Go forth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go in peace.
No, I know it's there, but it's not giving me any pain at this point. And that's been.
Remember when Grandma?
20 minutes, 39 seconds.
When she
20 minutes.